Petco Park, a new beginning, let's go. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Baby said she wanna go to the game. Taught her how to say Padre gang. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Mitchell and Ness with the old school name. All of the homies holler Padre gang. Yeah, they.
And good day, everybody, or maybe not so good day. Welcome to episode 185 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I am your host, Ben Fadden, coming to you after the San Diego Padres just got swept by the last place Colorado Rockies. Wow, that sucks to say. What a day in Padre land. Or what a series, really, if you think about it. You come off scoring 41 runs against the Cubs, coming to Coors Field. It's like, oh, wow, this is going to be great. It's going to be another great offensive series, and the Padres have a great chance of winning this series. Except when you remember that it's the Padres and their history, and they recent history, last couple of years, they just have not been able to beat the Rockies. They haven't been able to beat them specifically at Coors Field either. And yeah, it's definitely frustrating that they got swept today, but they're 41-27, still a really good record. Obviously, the big disappointment in this series was not that they got swept. I think people couldn't care less, to be honest, about them getting swept now because of what happened in the first inning today in the Padres' 8-3 loss to Colorado, and that was Manny Machado's injury, where he hit that number in front of the plate, goes, sprints down the line, doesn't hit his foot at the front of the bag, hits it in the middle of the bag, and he then slips, his foot slips, the left foot hits the dirt, turns the ankle, ends up being a sprained ankle, and he's probably going to be out, I would think, like a month. There has not been any timetable or anything about the injury as I'm talking right now at 8:23 p.m. Pacific time on June 19th. But when you look at the injury, it's not a knee injury like Ryan Flaherty, you know, was scared of when he saw it in real time, which is good. But you know, when Ryan Flaherty says after the game, it's as good as it could be, or he said something to that effect, it's kind of like, okay, well, if you're saying that it's as good as it could have been, then you're probably saying, well, we feared that he would be out multiple months and for the whole summer, and maybe he's only going to be out for like a month. Now, CJ Abrams is going to be called up to replace Manny on the roster. That's what it seems like. Jeff Sanders reported today during the game, I think, that Abrams was pulled out of the El Paso Chihuahuas game, and he's probably going to be headed to San Diego, to Petco Park, to replace Manny on the roster. So that means that Manny's going to be on the IL. Just don't know how long he's going to be on the IL. That's the only thing. And that's obviously the big news. I mean, it sucks. He was helped to the dugout by Ryan Flaherty and Mark Rigaud, the head trainer. I was at the AUX softball event at San Diego State. It was a great event, by the way, doubleheader. And so I did not see it live. I watched it while I was at the game, and I was like, really, the one game I'm not at, the one game I'm not watching, and Manny gets hurt? Like, you never want him to get hurt. At any time, obviously, he's the best player on the team. He's the MVP. He's the National League MVP right now. You can make the argument that he's the best player in baseball this season, or he has been this season up to this point. And so with the Padres missing Manny Machado probably for a month, that's my best guess. Kevin Acey had an article today, and he mentioned after the game that there was this former Chargers doctor or whatever that watched the film and projected that it was like a grade 3 sprain. I have no idea what that means. But that doctor is guessing that he's going to be out like a month. I think he was pretty spot on with the Tatis injury. So take with that what you will. If he is out a month, I mean, that's the only timeline that I've heard or any timeline that has been guessed from someone that knows what they're talking about. So if, let's say he's out for a month. Guess who just became the MVP of the team, or at least the offense? That's Jake Cronenworth. Without Fernando, probably till the middle of July. And then you got Manny out for, let's say, a month. Jake Cronenworth, he was already hot coming in here, and they just got swept by the Rockies. If he doesn't stay hot, you got Grisham, not a whole lot of confidence in him offensively. No confidence in Hosmer anymore, because April is not the month we're in right now. It's June. And some of the at-bats he took this weekend just were horrible. They looked horrible. Who else? Alcantara, obviously, he's not a offensive first infielder. I'm not saying he's going to get a lot of playing time. It's going to be Abrams. But even with Abrams coming up, it's one thing to hit great in AAA. He didn't hit that great, you know, in the big leagues. So maybe he made an adjustment, or he got more comfortable, got more at-bats like the Padres wanted him to. But if you were to ask the Padres, do you want C.J. Abrams up right now? They would say no. They probably would want to bring him up after he got more significant, a more significant number of at-bats in El Paso than what he did. Because he was down for how long? It feels like a month, maybe. Let me check that real quick. But yeah, if you had, you know, like a gun to their head, Preller would probably tell you, no, we don't want Abrams up right now. They're going to tell you that they're confident in him, and I can be confident in him. I think that he'll play better than he did when he was first called up because of those more at-bats, and he's gotten more comfortable, and he spent time with Robinson Cano and all that. I'm just looking at the minor league game logs here. So, yeah, he was sent to El Paso in May, early May, after the May 8th game against Miami. So, yeah, he's had about a month, a little more than a month in AAA. I think the Padres would probably would have preferred to have him have a couple months of at-bats in AAA instead of bringing him up now. But now C.J. Abrams, of course, he has a very important role on this team. But Jake Cronenworth, I'm kind of scared to see what this offense is if Jake Cronenworth, you know, doesn't continue hitting the way that he is. Because of how great Manny has been, he's carried the offense even when Cronenworth was struggling. And now Cronenworth, he is the guy. He's probably going to be hitting third, right? Or if he hits second, would they put Abrams second in the order or leadoff? Like, are they comfortable with him doing that? With them doing that? Profar leading off, Abrams hitting second, Crony hitting third? Or do you want Cronenworth still hitting second and Abrams down at the bottom of the order? Because if that happens, I'm not very confident in the middle of that lineup. I mean, I like what Voit, he homered today. Maybe they have Alfaro hit fourth when he's catching instead of having Hosmer slide up from five to four. Because Hosmer, I don't have confidence in him. But this Manny move, that's, I guess my point is this offense, and you don't need me to tell you that or tell you this. You take out the best player in the National League so far this season from your lineup, and you add that to the fact that you have a guy really underperforming at first base offensively, and you're without your best player, your star shortstop, the best shortstop in baseball, who is a huge boost to you offensively and defensively. So you're out with those negatives there in that lineup, those absences. That's not a great scenario. And thank goodness that the Padres pitching, the starting rotation, is the best starting rotation in baseball, in my opinion. Because if not, if they had a starting rotation like last year, maybe after the All-Star break last year, they could definitely lose a lot of ground. They would not be anywhere near 14 games over 500 like they sit right now at 41-27 when we look, you know, 2-3 weeks down the line, and let's say Manny's out, Tatis is out, Hosmer continues to underperform offensively, and the rotation isn't Gore, Musgrove, Darvish, Manaea. It's instead, you know, Ryan Weathers and Chris Paddock in there. It could look a whole lot different. So I think we got to be really grateful, glass half full, that we still can win games. The Padres can still win games. They got the Diamondbacks, the Phillies. They can still win games. I'm confident that this team can continue to win games. I just don't know if they can continue being like 14 games over 500 without Manny. And the Dodgers, yeah, they got swept this weekend, I believe, by the Guardians. So good. They kind of kept face. They kept pace with the Dodgers, right? They're like a half game back of the Dodgers in the National League. Cool. But we know the Dodgers are going to continue winning games. Mookie Betts is out, right? Okay, so he's out with a cracked rib for the Dodgers. Well, the Padres are without their two best offensive players. The Dodgers are without probably their best offensive player. Okay, imagine if the Dodgers were without Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. That's what the Padres are going to be facing right now with Manny and Tatis out. And we don't know the time frame. The timetable probably will be announced tomorrow when they officially activate C.J. Abrams onto the roster. That's the move that Jeff Sanders reported today. So when that move's announced, we'll see the timetable. Right now, only thing I can guess is a month, because that's what that former Charger doctor saw. He's the only one that I've seen that knows what they're talking about. So I'll go with that time frame. And if they're out a month, if Manny's out a month, Tatis is out for another 3 weeks at least, right? So I'm really, really curious what their record's going to be through these next 30 or so games, right? Without your two best offensive players. And, you know, when you take Manny out of the order, now maybe it makes it, especially if you have like Haas hitting behind Cronenworth, it makes it much easier to pitch around Jake. So I am really, really interesting. I know I'm kind of just not really planning out bullet points of what I'm talking about here with Manny, just kind of going off the cuff. But I am really, really interested to see how this offense performs without Manny in the lineup, because he changes a lot. And it's not even offensively, right? It's defensively as well. He posts every day. He's the best defensive third base in baseball. I don't care, Cardinals fans. You want to say Nolan? He's not. I don't think. And so now you're going to have Ha-Sung Kim play third in a position that he doesn't play every day. And now you're going to have Abrams come and play shortstop. He wasn't great defensively at shortstop when he was at the big leagues. And maybe he makes adjustments. He's more comfortable now that this is his second time being in the big leagues. But it changes. Their defense gets worse. Their offense gets worse. A lot of collateral damage with this Manny injury. And it's obviously not on Manny. Duh. It's not on Manny. He was hustling. You can't get mad at him. Yeah, I guess if I'm being picky, he did not touch the front part of the bag like you're taught. Kind of hit the middle. But when you're sprinting like that, he's just trying to get to the bag. I can't be mad at him. Obviously, I'm not mad at him. You know, I want him to hustle. He hustled, and that's what happened. Okay. Injuries happen, and it sucks. Really sucks. But I am really, really interested. Obviously, I didn't want to be interested in seeing how the lineup would do without Manny, because you'd rather have Manny in there. But I am interested now that Manny's hurt to see how this lineup does without him in the lineup. But we can work through this series. I wanted to talk about Manny right off the bat there, obviously, because that's the big news. And that's what everyone is caring about right now. But we'll start with Friday's game, Saturday's game, and then Sunday's game, just like usual. After sweeping the Cubs at Wrigley, Padres lost 10-4 on Friday, 5-4 on Saturday, and 8-3 today. Not great. On Friday, they fell to 41-25 pregame. This is another bummer. We found out that Joe Musgrove is on the COVID list, which means he's probably not going to make his next start. He wasn't feeling well on Friday at Coors Field. He left Coors Field, I think. Just went back to the hotel. And now, Joe Musgrove, obviously, he's been tremendous. Extend Joe Musgrove. I've been big on that front on Twitter, for anyone that knows that, on social media, on this show. This obviously doesn't change if we should extend Joe Musgrove. It's just a bump in the road now. And Nick Martinez is probably going to start. Oh, no. Clev, now thinking about it, Clev, what he threw, did he throw like 50 pitchers or something on Friday night when he returned? So he's probably going to go on Wednesday, I would think. Maybe start that game. Because Nick Martinez started, what was it, yesterday's game. So if they're keeping him in the rotation, Wednesday he'd be pitching on 3 days rest, I think. So I think that Clev would be the no-brainer option to start Wednesday's game. And you hope that Joe Musgrove being out, one, their starting rotation's great. So missing one start, I don't think is the end of the world, obviously. And, you know, this could save his arm a little bit, give him a little bit of rest. So it actually could end up being a blessing. You're playing the Diamondbacks, not a great team, on Wednesday, the day that Musgrove was scheduled to start. So it's not the end of the world, but it definitely is a bummer. You'd obviously rather have Joe Musgrove out there, but there's not a whole lot more to talk about on the subject with Joe Musgrove going on the COVID list, because we just don't know how many starts he's going to miss. If he misses two or three starts, that becomes obviously a bigger issue. If he misses this one start, okay, you're playing the Diamondbacks on Wednesday, it's not the end of the world, you know? But that was news. Before Friday's game, Clev was activated. Kyle Tyler was optioned. Kinnear was called up to replace Musgrove on the roster. And the bottom of the first, Mackenzie Gore, he started that game. He gave up a triple and a home run to Charlie Blackmon and CJ Crone. The big discussion, I mean, that made it 3-0 Rockies. After, I mean, Gore just was not great. 79 pitches in this game, 4-plus innings of work, 8 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, struck out 1, gave up 3 bombs. His ERA is now at 3.64 after being at like 1.50 for a good stretch there in the season. You know, against Colorado, right? Colorado has been his kryptonite. And in the bottom of the fourth, he hung a breaking ball to Randall Grichuk, made it 6-0 Colorado. He hung a breaking ball to CJ Crone. CJ Crone hit his second home run of the game there, made it 8-4 Colorado. Look, the last two starts that he's faced Colorado, he's won a combined 6 1/3 innings, 14 hits, 14 runs. 14 runs in his last two outings against Colorado combined. 3 bombs, 7 walks. So he's giving up hits. He's leaving breaking balls over the middle of the plate. Pitching to CJ Crone, which isn't the best option at Coors Field, the best decision. And the walks don't help, obviously. Am I worried about Mackenzie Gore? No. I made this point, I think it was on social media, whenever it was. If Gore struggles only against the Rockies this year, that is amazing. Sign me up for that, because that means that he's pitching well. He's giving quality starts every other start out. Sign me up for that, right? What's up, Tupac 13? I see you, by the way, there in the comments. Sign me up for that. I'm not worried about Mackenzie Gore. You look at the track record this year. You look at him being with Ruben Niebla. You're telling me that he can't make an adjustment when he comes back and pitches at home this week? Probably it would be against the Phillies, I think. I have no reason to think that he won't make an adjustment and pitch better than he did against Colorado these last two times out. If a team has your number, okay. Obviously, you're going to try to look at the film and see why they have your number. But I think part of it was he just left pitches over the middle of the plate. Just refine the location of the pitches. Don't walk as many guys. You know, be consistent inside the strike zone. Just don't be consistent down the middle of the strike zone or hanging pitches, and he's going to have a better start, I think. So I'm not worried about it. Not worried about Gore. He has just been phenomenal this year. And so we have the expectation he should be a quality start every time out, 7 innings, 1 run. So when he sucks against Colorado, it definitely takes you by surprise. But again, if he struggles only against Colorado, I'm totally fine with that. Anthony says, good evening. Padres will get back on track tomorrow. I certainly hope so. Right guy is starting in Yu Darvish. And then he's talking about Manny over Nolan. Yeah, totally agree. And Yu Darvish, yeah, We'll get to that in the preview, the Diamondback series. With Darvish, he pitched well last time out, I believe. And look, use another one of those guys. You go down their rotation, even Nick Martinez. He gives you confidence because it feels like he's going to keep you in the game, you know? But yeah, Gore, Musgrove, Manaea, Darvish, like Anthony mentions, they all keep the Padres in games. And that's all you really want to hope for. Now, maybe they have to be a little bit better because Manny's not going to be there. But at the same time, I do have more confidence in Abrams this time around than last time around in terms of how he can perform offensively. I'm not expecting him to replace Manny. You can't do that. No one can do that, really, based on how Manny's performed this year offensively. But I think he can still put together, you know, better at-bats than Hosmer, if that makes sense. Better at-bats than maybe Grisham. And I think he could fit in well still hitting, you know, second in the order if they want Cronenworth to now be hitting third instead of second. If they want to put Abrams down there at the bottom of the order, I'll be fine with that as well. Okay. If they want Abrams to prove himself, that's fine. I would just prefer that Alfaro maybe hits fourth instead of Hosmer, right? But we'll see. That's an interesting thing. I talked about earlier how interested I am in how the offense is going to perform without Manny. One of those players, obviously, is C.J. Abrams. How is he going to do that second time around now being called up to the big leagues? And he's being called up when he didn't expect to be called up, right? Once the Manny injury happened, he probably did. But going into today, he was like, I'm just doing another game in El Paso, just living the minor league life, getting more at-bats. I would think that the Padres thought that he was going to get at least another month of at-bats before calling him up again. Just really give him that experience. I still don't understand why they weren't playing him in the outfield, to be honest. Like, he's not going to play shortstop when Tatis comes back. Why are you continuing to play him at shortstop? Now, looking at the Manny injury and thinking that Abrams is probably going to go play shortstop now tomorrow, that decision looks better because Abrams has been playing every day and probably improving defensively at shortstop. But yeah, Abrams is a fascinating guy to watch now, obviously, being called up for Manny or in replacement of Manny. Anything else to talk about in this game? I mean, it was just Gore. He was not on, hanging breaking balls, walking too many guys. 7 walks combined in those last 2 starts against Colorado. There were bloop singles, made it 9-4. Alcar had an error. Manny DH this game. So not a whole lot of positives. There were a few to take away. Rhys Kinnear, 2 shutout innings. He's been great this year when being called up. The offense struck out just 2 times. They didn't really keep that going the, you know, Saturday and Sunday's games. But yeah, you just kind of chalk it up to an off night for Mackenzie Gore, really. That's really what it was about. You know, they scored 4 runs, but when your starter gives up 8 runs, that's hard to win. Anthony says, this team losing streak in Snell starts is getting ridiculous. Well, Snell, I think he probably should have finished better today, and we'll get to that. Part of it's the offense, part of it's Snell. Some starts it's Snell, some starts it's the offense, right? And when Manny got hurt, it's kind of easy to just suck the life out of the offense and the team today, right? Irie says, how long is the IL stint? Have they released that info yet on Manny? No, they have not. Yeah, you're just coming in here. Earlier I said, the one opinion that I've seen that's probably credible, Kevin Acey wrote about it. Some former Charger doctor said he maybe a month. So that's what I'm expecting. But no like 60-day IL or anything like that. Yeah, hopefully no one fell for that today. I was sitting at the softball games today at SDSU, and there was a tweet that came up and said San Diego Padres on it and said that Manny was going to the 60-day IL. With Abrams being activated and the Abrams being activated, Manny going to the IL, that's right. But the 60-day IL, that I don't think that's going to happen. If that happens, that's trouble. I think it's going to be a month or less. Fingers crossed. That's what we hope for. And the link that that dude posted was to the Tatis contract extension release, news release. So it was just a fake account. So don't look at that. Make sure the account is a blue check mark when you're looking at that. And make sure it's not Bob Nightingale or MLB on Facts, Facts MLB. Just make sure of that. Yeah, that's what I'll say on that. Saturday's game, Padres lost 5-4. A game maybe they could have won. Actually, a game that they probably should have won. Hosmer came up small in a couple spots. Runners in scoring position, struck out multiple times. Luis Garcia gave up the home run to Ryan McMahon there in that eighth inning, bottom eight. That was the first home run that Luis Garcia had allowed all season long. So, no, I'm not worried about Luis Garcia. Anyone that was on Twitter last night saying, we need to get an eighth inning setup reliever and you can't trust Luis Garcia. It's like, you're not watching the games, obviously, then. You know, you're being a casual fan, a reactionary fan. How about you go look at the stats? You know, don't just look at your eye test watching the game and saying, oh, man, Coors Field, he just gave up a bomb. He gave up the lead to Ryan McMahon last weekend. Okay, pitchers are human. How about you look at the bright side of things and saying it's been like 20 out of 25 or something appearances this year where he's held the other team to a scoreless inning or outing, however long he's pitched. How about you look at it from that side of view, right? And for me, looking at the Manny injury, it could have been 2 months. And if it's only going to end up being 1 month, I'm going to look at it from that bright side, right? I'm going to look at it from the bright side of he was hustling. There has been some times where he hasn't been hustling on plays that have been bobbled, right? I don't expect him to hustle all the time. And I'm kind of veering off into a different point, but look at it half full. Like, this team is still 41-27 without Fernando. They're going to be without Manny. Part of the year, they pretty much were without Cronenworth offensively. He was struggling. They've been doing this with Hosmer struggling offensively and still hitting in the middle of the lineup somehow. You know, look at it from that side of view, the positive view. But yeah, 5-4. While I say that, the Padres probably should have won that game. I mean, Jorge Alfaro was great defensively. He made that drop third strike play. There was a nubber in front of the mound, and McMahon tried to score earlier in this game on Saturday, and he tagged him out. That kept the Padres in this game. But yeah, McMahon got Garcia there late. And Nick Martinez, he pitched to Blackman. He pitched to CJ Cron. That's not the smartest thing to do. When you have bases open, I'm not saying you walk them every time, but giving up fastballs right down the pipe to Charlie Blackman like he did yesterday. I posted the screenshot on Twitter after posting the video of the Blackman home run. That's Talking Friars on Twitter, by the way. And it's like, you could not put that pitch on a tee better than what Martinez served that Blackman home run to. That pitch location. It was just terrible. And I know he's not trying to throw it right down the middle, but it's a results-oriented business, right? And he threw it right down the pipe. And so pitching to Cron, pitching to Blackman, that killed the Padres this series. Martinez went 5 innings yesterday, 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, gave up 2 bombs. You give up 2 bombs, it's hard to come back and win that because usually those bombs aren't just going to be solo home runs. He was cruising, too, 30 pitches through he was at 30 pitches into the fourth inning, and then he allowed 4 hits and walked 2 guys in his final 2 innings of work. So, you know, with Snell, I thought he pitched pretty good today to start off his outing, and then it's just a matter of him finishing it. Same with Martinez yesterday. It's fine to give up a home run, but just finish that fifth inning. Finish that sixth inning or however long you go. And that's just not what Snell and Martinez were able to do. Now, do I still like what Nick Martinez, you know, provides to this Padres team? Of course I do. He's going to give you some type of length, and he can be a bullpen option when Musgrove comes off the COVID IL and when Clev gets built up again from being in the bullpen to being a starter, right? Getting that starter pitch count back up. So I really like what he can bring to the Padres, but it's definitely, it was disappointing to see him not be able to finish it on Saturday. And same with Snell. Now, there's not a whole lot to talk about more. I kind of elaborated on it already in the Saturday game. Top of the third, Crony scored on a Voit laser. I mean, Voit, that's another story in this series. Voit, liners all over the place. Homered today. Crushed that ball, by the way. Fourth inning, top of the fourth inning yesterday. Second and third, one out. There was a, that was the Nubber. Where was the Hosmer play? I wanted to get to the Hosmer strikeouts because those were obviously crucial. I think it was second and third, one inning, and then it was a runner on second. It was like back-to-back innings, and the Padres had consecutive strikeouts, and they just couldn't come through. And obviously, they lost by one run, so those innings there were really crucial that they weren't able to come through. They were, let's see. I thought I had it here. Yeah. They left nine on base last night. They were 3-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Like, you got to produce more than that. You had Manny in the lineup, by the way. He wasn't hurt, obviously, until today. You got to produce more than that. John Schaefer said on Twitter yesterday, I saw this, Padres are 10-15 going into today's game. They were. Now they're 10-16 against Colorado in the last two seasons. Since the start of last season, and then all the way through Sunday's game today, they're 10-16 against the Colorado Rockies. Like, that's disappointing. Like I mentioned earlier, try to look at this series from glass half full, and that's what I'm trying to do. Because when you realize it, look, go back in this road trip, it was still a successful road trip. Like, you might think it's not successful because Manny's hurt, and that's the big thing that matters. But it was still a winning road trip. You get to come back to San Diego to face a Diamondbacks team that you should win the series against. We get to see CJ Abrams come back up. I'm excited to see that. Obviously, you wish it was in different circumstances, but I'm excited to see that. And the Dodgers got swept by the Guardians. It's not like they lost a ton of ground this weekend by not doing their job against the Rockies. Of course, with that said, though, of course, it's disappointing that they got swept by the Rockies because this is a team they should beat, right? They have two really good hitters, or at least against the Padres, Crone and Blackman. The rest of the lineup, eh. Jonathan Daza seems like he also kills the Padres all the time. He robbed that home run last weekend, the Kim home run in the left field corner. Had some good catches, liners this series against the Padres at Coors Field. But their lineup's not stacked. The bullpen, can you name three guys in that bullpen? Daniel Bard, Chacin, who else? Carlos Estevez, isn't he a reliever? Other than that, I mean, I can't really name other relievers. Like, it's just not, it's a last place team. That's my point. It's a last place team, and you get swept. These are definitely series that you're going to look back on, just like we did last year, and you're like, well, dang, that was an opportunity to win games, keep pace with the Dodgers. Well, they kept pace, but I'm saying maybe the Padres go on a slump or a bad stretch, and the Dodgers go on a winning stretch, and now the Padres are five games back or something, and you're going to look back at these games, and it's like, man, we would have been in much better striking distance. Let's say it's August or something. Still have time to make it up if it's August. But you're going to be like, well, that was a chance that they just didn't capitalize on there. You know, when Gore gives up eight runs, that's not something that you're like, oh, we should have capitalized on it. But I'm talking about Saturday's game, where that's a game that they could have won. They just didn't come through offensively. They lost by one run, you know. It's those games. The Diamondbacks opening day, right, which Stammen gave up that walk-off to Seth Beer. The Cleveland game where Naylor and Hedges came through, right? The Pirates game where Hosmer made that error in extra innings, ground ball between his legs in Pittsburgh, right? It's those games that you're going to look back on. It's not necessarily getting by the Rockies. It's losing to the Rockies in a game that you could have won, right? That's my thoughts on Saturday's game. They lost 5-4. And again, Martinez gave up 4 earned runs, just wasn't able to finish the job. Longball says, I know he didn't pitch today, but Kyle Tyler deals. Yeah, I gave props to him, I think, on my last episode because of the job he did at Wrigley. And yeah, he's been great. Love his story. Trying to get him on the show. In fact, let me set a reminder to try to do that. When I'm done recording here, I'll send an email to try to get an update on Kyle Tyler. Because I love his story. You know? All right, I'm sending a reminder. There we go. Thank you for that, long ball prod. Irie says, if the Rockies know a secret, they better keep it to themselves. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, what's their secret? Like playing at Coors Field, hitting fastballs right down the middle by Nick Martinez, hitting hanging breaking balls. Like, I didn't watch the game today because I was at the softball, but just looking at the highlights, like Blake Snell, and we can move to Sunday's game. We can move to today's game where the Padres lost 8-3. They gave up a couple bombs. Steven Wilson gave up one. But Snell, he pitched good. You know, he pitched pretty good starting out. He allowed one run through his first four innings, I believe, and then just didn't get out of the fifth inning and really struggled there. Had the bases loaded at least once and walked four. Like, what's their secret? Just capitalizing on the Padres' mistakes? Like, that's what it feels like playing at Coors Field, not having their Manny Machado get hurt today. Like, maybe that's their secret. I don't know. It's just something that maybe we just won't be able to solve why the Padres, like, in terms of, like, skill and game planning, like, why is it, you know, guys tipping pitches or anything or stuff like that? I think it's just the Padres not playing up to the Rockies level or playing down to the Rockies level during these series. That's what it feels like, right? Longball Prod says, I'm on vacation in the East Coast and the Padres play at like 10 p.m. every day, so I'll be up till 1. Yeah, I was at St. John's University this past school year in New York, and yeah, those are some late nights. Games starting at 9:40 at night last year because of the fall semester, games starting at like 10. Yeah, those were some late nights. I mean, it was the Padres, so I was interested. It's not like I was tired because the Padres were on. But yeah, it definitely can get long nights. And it's weird, you know, adjusting to it because day games start at 4 o'clock there. It's like, I got to wait till 4 o'clock. You know, it's weird, but I guess I adjusted to it. And then when I flew back right from the airport, went to the Padres game. That was fun. But getting to Sunday's game here, 8-3, obviously Padres fall. And they're 41-27 now. But like I mentioned, the Dodgers got swept today by the Guardians. So I believe they're still a half game back of the Dodgers. So this could have definitely been, you know, a really, really bad scenario where Manny, not only did Manny get hurt, but now you're like four games back in the division. Like, that didn't happen. So thank goodness for that. In the top of the second, Voit had a homer. Nola homered later in this game. Bottom five, Brendan Rodgers had an RBI single, made it 2-1 Rockies after Diaz tied the game in the second. CJ Krohn killing the Padres again. Up Blake Snell, RBI single, made it 3-1. Randall Grichuk hit a 3-run homer off Steven Wilson. So obviously this was when Blake Snell was not in the game anymore. That made it 6-1. Elias Diaz would homer off Adrian Morejon, made it 9-1 Colorado. Not great performances out of the bullpen, and not great performance out of Blake Snell in that like fifth inning. It was the fifth inning, right? I think it was the fifth inning. So, you know, Stammen, I saw that he walked. Didn't he walk a guy with the bases loaded to bring in a run? not great performance out of him, but can't really be too surprised there. But encouraging sign, I guess. Austin Nola hitting that home run, his second home run of the year. You could say it's encouraging because he hit a home run. But then you could also say, well, it's not really encouraging because it's his second home run only of the year, right? Like, it's going to be rare that that happens. And it was hit at Coors Field, you know? But Luke Voit, him and Cronenworth, let's see if they can carry this lineup without Manny, right? That is something that you're going to, or at least I'm going to be watching out for. Just don't know. We don't know what C.J. Abrams is going to be his second time coming up in the big leagues here with the Padres. You hope with those extra at-bats, being mentored a little bit by Robinson Cano, just getting more comfortable in professional baseball, you hope that he's going to come out better. And you're facing the Diamondbacks, right? His first series back. But at the same time, you also see, well, he wasn't so great offensively and kind of defensively, to be honest, at the big league level when he first came up this year. So what I'm saying is, you know, can't trust Hosmer either. Crony and Voit. And then Alfaro, if you want to add him in, Profar. But mainly for me, Crony and Voit, those two guys are going to be huge in the middle of that order for the Padres. And if they don't do well, the Padres probably won't do well. So look for that. Obviously, the big story was the Manny injury, and just don't know the timetable yet. Just simply don't know the timetable. Abrams is going to get called up, it seems like. Probably will be in the lineup tomorrow playing shortstop with Ha-Sung Kim at third. I think they're going to give Abrams, this is my gut reaction, they'll give Abrams the majority of the at-bats like this first week, and if it doesn't go well, they won't be scared to put Alcantara in there at third base and put Kim back at shortstop. Or have Alcantara play short and Kim play third. Alcantara played third when Manny DH'd the other night. So that's why I'm saying Alcantara would play third and Kim would play short, if that's what they do. But Alcantara, he doesn't deserve to be in the lineup every day over Abrams, right? You bring up Abrams, he's your top prospect. Play the guy. Give him another chance. It's kind of like with Luis Camposano. Like, with Nola struggling, I don't really know what you do with him, but if you're going to bring Camposano up like they did earlier this year, don't have him DH one game and then send him down after like 12 at-bats. Give him the at-bats. Give him those consistent at-bats, because you're not going to see if he's going to succeed and be your starting catcher of the future unless you give him the at-bats at the big league level. So give Abrams these big at-bats. Let him fail. You know, if he's going to fail, well, have him fail consistently. So at least you can tell him, Bomell, when he comes back, or Ryan Christensen, when they come back, they can say, hey, we gave you the chance. We gave you these at-bats. We still think you can be valuable off the bench with your speed, or as a defensive replacement, maybe if your defense is improved, or if it's a righty on the mound and we got a righty up to bat and we want a lefty in there. But we gave you your chance at starting. But at least make the Padres say that. Make the coaching staff tell Abrams that. Make the front office, make Preller tell Abrams, hey, we gave you the chance. So, yeah, I think Abrams is going to get those bulk of the opportunities. Obviously, today, 8-3, that was a disappointing loss. Just looking at the box score, looking at the highlights, all the game scoring plays and all that. Let me know in the chat, or anyone watched the game here, your biggest takeaway from this game, since I didn't watch the full game. Long Ball Prod says, watching the game, Stammen was all over the place. Two-thirds an inning through 30 pitches. Yeah, I didn't realize how many pitches he threw there in that two-thirds of an inning, but I did see that he struggled, walked a couple guys, I believe, gave up a hit. But, you know, at this point in Stammen's career, what he's done this season, can you really expect a whole lot else? You know, he's not a high leverage reliever. They were down, what was the score when he came in? It was like 8-3. I have no idea what the score was when Stammen came in. No, because 8-3 was the final. He gave up run. He gave up at least one run, right? So it was still, the point is, it was still a blowout. And that's the role that he's pitching in right now, is blowout games. So there's not a whole lot to talk about with Stammen. Like, that's just who he is this year. Hawkeye Digger says, hope Bob Melvin will calm this clubhouse when he comes back. It just feels like things would fall apart. Not the clubhouse. The clubhouse, I think they love each other. I mean, look at the starting rotation, you know, with the bucket hats and all that, and mimicking you Darvish earlier this year, and the team with the Polaroids. Like, in terms of the team falling apart like it did last year, maybe you could sense in the clubhouse a little bit. And obviously, because of the merger, you know, people just weren't bought into Tingler. This year's totally different. They're not going to crumble and fall apart, regardless of who the manager is. Now, crumbling record-wise, if there's no Tatis and no Manny, I still don't think that's going to happen. I still believe in this team because of their starting pitching. But I don't think that they're going to be 14 games over 500 the whole time Manny's out. I'll say that. So in terms of falling apart, I guess I agree with you there. I don't think they're going to fall apart, though, if that makes sense. I just don't think they're going to keep up the pace without Manny, obviously. And that's not a bold take. Manny's the MVP. He's their best player, right? So Longball's takeaway from today's game, Padres are still pitching to Crone, and that still gives them many runs driven in. Yeah, totally. I think I've said it multiple times in this episode. Pitching to Crone, pitching to Blackman, you know, it's not necessarily just pitching to them, but like giving them great pitches to hit fastballs down the middle, like Martinez did yesterday to Black. Like, that's where it's dumb, right? Bases loaded. There's some spots where you have to pitch to them. I'm not saying you walk them, but don't throw fastballs right down the middle. You know, that's all I'm saying. They're going to beat you. Make them beat you on, like, your great pitch, if that makes sense. So, yeah, Sunday's game, we covered that. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we covered those games. We could preview this Arizona series. I mean, I've already talked about multiple times about Abrams coming up, how interested I am in that. Crony being the most valuable offensive player right now, because that's what he is. And he just has to continue hitting. For the Padres, I think, to have any chance of keeping up this pace, because starting pitching, they can be great, but you got to score runs to win at the end of the day, right? But this Arizona preview, quick here. Davies is pitching tomorrow for the Diamondbacks. Cannot wait to see if the Padres can crush that guy. Darvish on the mound, that's 640. Diamondbacks are 32-36, by the way, going into tomorrow's game. Padres have not named, or no, they've not named a starter for Wednesday. They've named a starter for Tuesday. That's Shamania, as I predicted on the pregame show today. It's the Diamondbacks who have not named a starter for their game, for the Tuesday game against Mania. That's at 6:40. Wednesday's at 1:10, a day game. Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the Diamondbacks, and obviously to be decided for the Padres. My guess is it's going to be Clev. Have him start because Martinez would be pitching on like three days rest because he pitched yesterday. So Saturday, Sunday, no wait. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right? He pitched Saturday. Yeah, he's rest. I think they'd go Clev there. That feels like the obvious pick. But yeah, that's just me. But this Arizona series, I mean, it's kind of like Colorado. They have a couple guys that can beat you. If Marte's healthy, he's one of them. Let me look who's hot on the Diamondbacks so far this season. Looking it up on Baseball Reference here. Wow, but a lot. They don't have one guy hitting over 300. They don't have one guy hitting over 276. Alec Thomas has their best batting average. Christian Walker. So, yeah, Christian Walker. That's the guy I forgot. Him and Marte are like the two guys that can really do damage David Peralta, I mean, yeah, I guess you got to add him in there because he's kind of like Blackman. He's a Padre killer. So, yeah, add him in there. But it feels like it's a three-man crew, kind of like the Rockies lineup. So, you know, if the Padres can get better starting pitching and Crony stays hot, Voit stays hot, they should win this series, and they need to win this series to continue keeping pace with the Dodgers and just to get back on a winning track, because obviously getting swept by a last-place Rockies team and losing 10 of your last 16 games against the Rockies in the last 2 years, that can't continue, I think, if they want to win the division. You got to win the games that you should win. Beat the teams in terms of winning series. That's what I mean by beating the teams that you should beat. Winning those series against those teams that you should win those series against. And the Padres weren't able to do that against the Rockies this weekend after sweeping the Cubs. Again, half glass full, and that's how I can end this episode. Again, this is episode 185 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I'm Ben Fadden, the host. This episode brought to you by Gaglione Bros, famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries located inside Petco Park in Point Loma, Mission Gorge, GaglioneBros.com. To their entire menu, the phone number, their addresses, all that good stuff. But getting back to the glass half full here, you know, Manny, that's not glass half full, but it gives Abrams another opportunity. Cronenworth can now shine, hopefully. You know, at least he'll get more of a spotlight. I still like where the starting pitching is at. Rhys Kinnear is pitching well, and they had a winning road trip, and now they get to go face a team that they should beat in the Diamondbacks before having a great, I think, a great test in the Phillies, at least offensively, their lineup. And they're playing better after firing Girardi. What a surprise. Firing the tense guy, and now you bring, well, you're not bringing someone in. You're replacing with the bench coach who probably isn't as uptight and is like, hey, go have fun. And the Phillies are playing better. So that's an interesting series. Obviously, anyone that knows me, I love going to the Phillies series because Bryce Harper plays for them. He's one of my favorite players. Always has been. He was my favorite player when the Padres weren't doing great. I still follow the Padres. You know, Will Myers, I'm still a fan of him. I still am. He's still one of my favorite guys just because of how long he's been with the team. He's been through all the ups and the downs along with us, right? But better players, it's easier to attach onto them because, one, they're not all being traded like it felt like all those guys are. And some of those prospects that you did attach onto in like 2016 and stuff, well, they didn't pan out and now they're no longer Padres. Where was I? I already previewed that series. The glass half full, I already talked about that. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. By the way, quick plug here, at Talking Friars on Twitter, I am running a giveaway. It ends on Monday, June 20th. So if you're listening to this on Monday, which you probably are, because it's 9:14 p.m. right now as I'm talking, the giveaway ends later today, Monday, June 20th. If you're listening on Monday, at 5 p.m. Pacific time, at Talking Friars on Twitter. Go find that post. Scroll down, find the post. It's a giveaway. And follow the instructions. Make sure to follow the instructions. If you don't follow the instructions, you will not be included in the random drawing. Okay? The deadline, 5 p.m. tomorrow, Monday, June 20th. All right, that's the quick plug. Everyone, I hope you enjoy your Sunday night. If you're watching live here on YouTube, I appreciate it. If you're watching on replay on YouTube, I appreciate that as well. For the podcast audience, I appreciate you. I hope everyone had a great weekend, has a great Monday to start off your week, and the Padres can get back on that winning track tomorrow night. I'll be back with the pregame show before the game tomorrow. Yu Darvish on the mound. Manny's hurt. That sucks, but it's an opportunity for Abrams. All right. See everybody. Have a good one. Go Padres.